Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. Kinda. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more regularly as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on March 27th, 2020. And just so you know, some of this information may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast is filled with South Carolina COVID-19 news and stories that matter to you, your family, and your fellow South Carolinians during this uncertain time. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting from myself and South Carolina Public Radio reporters, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us voice messages. We also have resources and tips, and we end it all with a little bit of a wind-down, because we need one. And like I mentioned, we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, what's it like to be a teacher and also work from home at the same time. Give us some tips, or maybe the projects you're working on, or how you're making it all work in self-isolation. What do you think about Tiger King? Oh yeah, wait till the wind down. Leave us a 1 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. We have operators standing by. All right, so let's get into the current situation in South Carolina. The spread of COVID-19 has entered the acceleration phase, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 13 deaths and are currently 539 cases being reported in 39 counties as of March 27th at 4:30 p.m. It was a bit shocking to hear projections showing 2,657 COVID-19 cases by April, which starts on Wednesday, y'all, just a few days away. But if you're wondering how we're going to get there so quickly, think about the fact that there is currently a backlog of 1,600 tests, and they're backlogged because the supplies used to run those tests are in short supply. DHEC continues to be in mitigation mode, which means if you are exhibiting COVID-19 symptoms, dry cough, shortness of breath, and fever, you don't necessarily need to be tested, but should be self-quarantining or going to the hospital if your symptoms are acute. Here's State Epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell explaining the situation in the bottleneck of testing.
We've now moved from disease containment to a disease mitigation strategy. In the mitigation phase, testing strategies focus more on testing a reasonable sample of those who are ill in a community rather than attempting to test and identify every single case. The variation in the number of new cases from day to day reflects the availability of chemicals, also referred to as reagents, needed for laboratories to perform this testing. There is a shortage of these chemicals nationwide and within South Carolina, including the DHEC Public Health Lab, which can lead to results in which can lead to delays in the results of tests being made available. This means that on a given day, the number of new cases reported could be much higher than it would typically have been if it includes results from tests that were delayed from a previous day. Because of potential shortages, we do not recommend that everybody who is ill get a test to see if they have COVID-19 infection. If disease activity increases significantly, we will advise people to stay home, get better, and seek medical attention only if symptoms are worsening.
Also, Governor McMaster issued an executive order Friday that requires visitors from hotspot areas such as New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the city of New Orleans to quarantine for 14 days upon arrival in the state. Welcome to Hotel South Carolina. At Thursday's COVID-19 press briefing, Governor Henry McMaster reiterated that there is no statewide stay-at-home order at this time and appeared to defer to high-density municipalities to make that decision. Places like Charleston and now Columbia have done that, with Greenville mulling the idea.
But let me say this. People are asking about drastic orders, shelter in place, and distinguishing essential from non-essential businesses and all those sorts of things. We will do that if and only if it becomes necessary to take those steps. When will it become necessary? How will we know? We will know based on the data, on the facts, on the science, on the expert knowledge and opinions and analysis of the professionals in the fields, representatives whom you see standing here in front of you today. And we'll do it on the basis of nothing else But from what I have read and seen, most of the things that are being ordered or being done are things that we've already, that I've already, and we in this group have already called for 2 weeks now, and mostly on a voluntary basis. So the good news is the South Carolinians are following these instructions and following these requests and suggestions very well.
Also, Attorney General Alan Wilson issued an opinion Friday that stresses that cities do not have extraordinary emergency powers, such as issuing stay-at-home orders. It's worth noting, though, that legal opinions from the Attorney General's office are not legally binding. As for President Donald Trump's goal of having the economy reopened by Easter, which is April 12th, McMaster called the president optimistic. This, as South Carolina is projected to have 8,000 cases of COVID-19 by early May. When asked about President Trump's letter to governors about forthcoming criteria to classify counties by high or low risk, McMaster said this.
Most of the governors are on the phone with the president and the vice president this morning. That may be the conversation you're talking about. And certainly there's some places that are more dense than others. And New York City is much more dense than places in South Carolina. So the same rules and same projections don't apply everywhere. But the best rule, as you've heard from Dr. Bell and Dr. Toomey and everyone else from DHEC since the very beginning, is you have to be very careful and presume that you have the virus and may be transmitting it to another if you're not careful, and that they have the virus and may be transmitting it to you if they are not careful and you're not careful. That is the best way to do it, and I'm convinced that that is what most of the people in South Carolina are doing. They're following those instructions.
At the end of the March 26 press conference, McMaster was asked about the death of Jack West, one of the 9 COVID-19 deaths reported in the state. West, a lobbyist, was the 71-year-old son of the late Governor John West. It was an emotional moment for McMaster, a moment few have ever seen from him in public.
He was a fine man from a fine family, and I know those of us who knew and loved him are going to miss him. And we hope that we see fewer and fewer of those cases. But our hearts go out to all the people and the families that we've lost. And I can promise you that those of us here are going to do all we can to lose no more.
The Post and Courier reports that 1st Congressional District Congressman Joe Cunningham has tested positive for COVID-19, this after he recently self-quarantined. Also, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced on Twitter that he has tested positive for COVID-19 and is experiencing mild symptoms. He said he is self-isolating and will continue to lead the government. The U.S. House of Representatives passed the $2.2 trillion stimulus package by voice vote on Friday. It will soon be signed by the president and money will begin rolling out. Here's Majority Whip Jim Clyburn speaking to the historic nature of the vote.
Many of us who've studied history know full well that the country has been here before, and we have always recovered. The problem is, many times, that recovery is uneven. And what we have done with this legislation is created the opportunity to have a more equitable recovery taking place. And I thank you all for doing that. The fact of the matter is, this is a great country which does not have to be made great again. What we've got to do is make this country's greatness accessible and affordable for all Americans. This legislation makes an attempt to do that, and I would hope that as we go forward, we will build upon it.
So we know folks making under $75,000 will get $1,200 checks, and those checks disappear the closer it gets to people making $90,000. But I talked to Frank Knapp, CEO and president of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce, about the grants in the stimulus bill for small businesses and how it will help keep Main Street afloat.
We have got to figure out, and the Congress is working on it, a way of infusing in small businesses the cash to keep them alive and let them have an opportunity to survive through this so that when we get out of it, we will actually have our small businesses ready to start functioning again and to start hiring back people. That's really going to be critical. After the Great Recession, it was small businesses that led the revival of the economy by hiring back their employees. And so we've got to make sure that we have our small businesses in place when we get out of this. Well, the $367 billion that they have in the stimulus bill that is for guaranteed loans to small businesses, that's really turned out well. And I congratulate Congress for listening to the small business community and listening to the needs that they have. So basically, these loans will be available to small businesses right away. They will be flexible. They will be sufficient to maintain the business probably for 8 weeks. That's what the intent was. They will be easy to get, and they're refundable. So basically, it's calculated as 2.5 times the average monthly payroll is what the small business will be able to request. And if they use that money for payroll, for rent, for utilities, or for a mortgage interest, all of that money that they borrow will be forgivable. In other words, they will never have to pay that. That will never go on as debt. It will almost be like a grant. Now, if they use it for other business expenses, then they will have to make loan payments on that. But all the loan payments are pushed off for 6 weeks. I'm sorry, 6 months. And so I feel real good about that. The small businesses are going to be in a position to go to a private lender who does SBA loans and provide just documentation that they were in business as of the 15th of February. And they will be able to get a check, hopefully, within about 7 days.
You can watch my full interview with Frank Knapp on This Week in South Carolina, which airs on SCETV Friday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. or online at scetv.org/twisc. The Department of Labor released unemployment claim numbers that revealed a record 3.3 million people filed for unemployment for the week ending March 21st. South Carolina unemployment insurance claims were 31,054, a 1,600% increase from the week before. The claims almost set a state record. Though the Dow closed down 915 points on Friday, it booked a gain of 12.8% for the week, which marks its best weekly gain since 1938, according to FactSet data. Also, consumer confidence data released Friday was at a 4-year low. The South Carolina Department of Commerce said some 85 businesses in the state are working to manufacture critical care items like ventilators and masks in the fight against COVID-19. South Carolina Public Radio's Scott Morgan has this report on what some businesses are doing.
3D Systems in Rock Hill is taking the academic and practical approaches to fighting the coronavirus. The company announced the launch of the 3D Together Project, a worldwide information gathering and sharing network of engineers, designers, and healthcare professionals. The company's usual operations involve 3D printing and digital manufacturing, but it's now working to develop face shields for healthcare workers, ventilator valves, and a lung ultrasound simulator. The company's executive vice president and chief legal officer, Andy Johnson, told the Charlotte Business Journal that the simulator could be ready by the middle of next week. In Lancaster, chemical firm DPI has begun making hand soap and sanitizer in large quantities.
One of those companies will not be BMW. The automotive giant is closing its production line sooner than expected. South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney has this report.
BMW, one of the state's largest employers, had planned to suspend operations at the end of next week. But the company now says its supply chain across the country has been disrupted by the coronavirus sooner than anticipated, and it will close this Sunday through April 12th. BMW's Spartanburg plant is its largest in the world. It produces more than 1,500 cars a day. 11,000 employees work at the plant, and the company says there are over 40 direct suppliers located in the state. The economic ripple effect from the closure will be felt statewide.
Whew, so reassuring from the Russ McKinney. Due to stock market uncertainty caused by COVID-19, the Federal Reserve has reduced interest rates, causing mortgage rates to dip slightly. ETV's Kaylin Cannon spoke to Margaret Robinson with Atlantic Bay Mortgage and John J. Reinhart, the owner of Reinhart Realty, about real estate in Rock Hill.
The biggest effect that the COVID-19 virus has been solely on the mass of loan applications that we're doing. People are coming in with refis, people are coming in with purchases, and they are taking advantage of the lower rates for both. So our business has doubled.
A buyer that's been in the market for a while and that has their lending either already in place or had maybe a pre-qualification letter is now looking at the interest rates and going, wow, I don't know when we've ever seen them this low. And especially the millennial buyer, they never have. Matter of fact, we're at the lowest interest rates in 50 years.
There are people out there that are kind of concerned because it is caused by the coronavirus, and they are backing out of purchases. We've had some realtors that say that their borrowers just says, no, I'm not going to purchase. You know, I'm going to wait and see what happens. I think a lot of just the fear that some people are having is causing them to back away.
So we try and get the buyer to understand low interest rates, the benefit that gives them, and why they may not want to wait. Matter of fact, I talked to you about coaching a young couple through, and their number one question was, oh my goodness, should we buy? And I said, okay, is your job in a good position? And they went, oh yeah, we're both engineers. So there's plenty of work for us to do. We can work from home, technology set up, everything's good. I said, do you have your down payment? Yes. Is the interest rate better or worse than it was a month ago? Well, it's better. I went, why are you worried about buying this house? Is the house in good condition? Yes. Well, let's buy the house. When you have a smart buyer that looks beyond the short-term issues. Remember, this outbreak will go away. Yes, will it pivot where we are in the real estate market? These types of things always do. So we'll have a small pivot, but they're making a decision for 10, 20, 30 years. They don't let a 2 or 3 month issue kill their deal.
Again, it's worth noting that while we are in volatile times, this is still not the same crisis that shook the pillars of our banking and housing industry in 2008. Now, for a little bit of a medical update. I spoke with DHEC control physician Dr. Brandon Trexler by Skype for This Week in South Carolina about several issues related to COVID-19, including testing data and the new modeling from DHEC.
Right. Well, we know that the number of tests that are being performed and that are coming back positive are very much underrepresenting. They're falsely low in terms of how many people out in the community are actually infected. We don't have a good analogy. You know, I can't tell you for every one person that we test positive, a certain number are actually out there positive. There's various, you know, modeling methods for that. But in general, I mean, we have it throughout the state. It is widespread throughout the state. And you shouldn't assume that if there's only small numbers of people who have tested positive, that they're the only ones with the disease. There are probably many other people who had very mild illness and didn't get tested who are walking around.
And you just mentioned modeling. It's DHEC is coming out with some modeling that they're releasing today as we're talking. Can you guys elaborate about what this is and how this is going to maybe help or give some perspective on what's going on with COVID-19 in South Carolina?
Sure. So some of our statisticians look at the modeling and are able to forecast out maybe how many cases we'll have going forward at certain time periods. And then we can do that social distancing, as we've heard us talk about a lot, to try to decrease those numbers. So basically right now, the projection for how many new cases we would have in the state is predicting over 2,500 by April 2nd and over 8,000 cases by May 2nd. However, like I said, if folks stay away from each other, especially stay home when they're sick, perform that social distancing, really are good about washing their hands and not spreading the disease, hopefully those numbers will in reality be lower.
And just like I said before, you can watch that full interview on This Week in South Carolina on ETV Friday evening at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., or on scetv.org/TWISC. Now, you may remember from our previous pod that Scott Morgan reported on how a dozen counties in the state don't have intensive care unit beds. Just one way to look at the urban-rural divide in our state. Now, he has this follow-up report.
12 of the state's 46 counties have zero intensive care unit beds, and even the ones that do have ICU beds might not have enough to handle a sudden influx of patients. So, what does that mean in a pandemic? Dr. Jan Probst, Professor Emerita of the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina.
If the county is immediately adjacent to an area where there is adequate service, then we're probably okay.
Take Fairfield County, one of the counties without a single ICU bed. Fairfield is adjacent to Richland County, which means Columbia, and that means 5 hospitals and an average of 1 ICU bed for every 325 seniors, one of the most at-risk demographics for COVID-19. Probst says the value of centralizing hospitals is that it concentrates healthcare professionals and equipment unlikely to be used often. And for neighboring areas, access to hubs of advanced and intensive healthcare is a boon.
However, when you get to the counties that are not immediately adjacent, then you really start to worry.
Take Abbeville County. While it does have ICU beds, six, the ratio of seniors to beds is almost 1,200 to 1. It's also on the far western end of the state, 55 miles from Greenville. Outside of a pandemic, Abbeville's six-bed capacity is usually adequate, says Probst. During one, it highlights how quickly a system could become overwhelmed.
Even in rural areas, six ICU beds is not a lot. We have seen family clusters where, you know, hey, everybody in the family is sick. We have seen that everybody who has ignored a social distancing warning and gone to a tiny church picnic could end up sick. These are not inconceivable scenarios, and they are really, really scary.
When you're talking about a surge in demand like this, it's not hard to fill 25 beds.
Dr. Kevin Bennett of the University of South Carolina's School of Medicine. He recently spoke by phone with South Carolina Public Radio's Vince Kolb Lugo about healthcare issues rural hospitals face in a pandemic.
It's not hard to overwhelm your staff because you just don't have as many as you would have in a larger county or a larger area. You would have supplies that run out because they don't have as many on hand as they would in a larger hospital.
For Dr. Probst, the worst-case scenario for rural hospitals has an eerie familiarity.
My first job in the world was at the VA hospital in Washington, D.C., and they had a committee because they only had so many dialysis machines, and so you had to decide who could live and who could die. We will see that problem again in South Carolina if people do not take shelter-in-place seriously.
For Graham Adams, the conversation about how bad it can get for rural hospitals in a pandemic like this is actually a conversation he has routinely.
This pandemic kind of brings it into sharper focus, but folks that live in these communities have to deal with this limited access to care every day.
Adams is the executive director of the South Carolina Office of Rural Health. He very much shares the worry that rural hospitals could find themselves overwhelmed, but he emphasizes that rural communities are not being left to wander the void on their own.
I will say our hospitals and health systems throughout the state are working together to try and make sure that folks are cared for no matter where they are and that people get the resources they need.
Part of that effort has been to free up hospital beds that would have been used for elective surgeries, something Governor Henry McMaster recently asked to be put on hold. At his press conference Monday, McMaster gave the results of that request.
There are 1,819 more beds available to handle that than there were 6 days ago.
For more on this story, including a breakdown of which counties have no ICU beds and a link to the original data compiled by the Kaiser Family Foundation, visit SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org.
Thanks, Scott, for that report. And just a little footnote, DHEC reported on Thursday that there are more than 5,500 hospital beds available in the state, mostly since elective surgeries have been postponed. Also, there are 1,260 ventilators in the state, with only 180 currently in use. Welcome to our wind down section. Time for everyone to take a breath. Last episode, we talked about how adults can handle self-isolation. And here's a fun way to help kids deal with it, too. And some adults.
Oh, good morning, everybody! Oh, Elmo's in the middle of his morning routine. Yeah, even though things may be a little different right now, Elmo's mommy and daddy say keeping a daily routine is very important. Here's Elmo's morning routine. Elmo made it himself. Looks pretty nice, huh? First, Elmo got dressed, which is pretty easy since Elmo doesn't wear any clothes. Then, Elmo brushed his fur, see? Then, Elmo had breakfast. Oatmeal with banana slices. Yummy! Elmo helped to set the table, too. And then, Elmo brushed his teeth. And now, it's time to play and learn. But before we start our day, we have to stretch and wiggle. Come on, everybody. Let's stretch together. Stretch. Ah. Ah. Oh, that feels good. Stretch. And now, wiggle, 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 wiggle. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Wow. Yay. Great job, everybody. everybody. Now let's have a great day. Elmo loves you. See you soon. Mwah.
Thanks, Elmo. I mean, who doesn't love Elmo? Jeez, that was something. Again, we're in our wind-down section. We want to hear from you and get a laugh or two. And to do that, we need you to call us at 803-563-7169. The call is free. And, you know, feel like, just leave us a little message. Tell us what you're doing. We've got a couple great messages so far. We got one this episode, too. You know, people just talking to us about what it's like in this new normal we're all dealing with. And you have a full weekend. If you haven't listened to all the episodes, go ahead. All that information is great. And afterwards, maybe you'll feel motivated to call us at 803-563-7169. Yeah, and if you have some questions that you want us to ask during the press conference, I know you've been watching those and hearing some interesting questions from other people, so let us know. We'll put it out there. So, do we have any calls?
Gavin, we do have calls.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, SC Lead. This is Jan in Charleston. I'm a telecommuter, so this is not impacting me that much, at least not the self-isolation. And it's pollen season. Yay! Which means I don't go out of the house for most of April or March. So it's pretty much the same for me right now, except I can't go to choir practice because church is closed. That's my big deal, and I am glad that some of the campaign ads are still gone. Yay! Have a good self-isolation yourselves, and don't drink too much. You really don't want them to have to come in your house and pick you up off the floor. Bye.
Jan, I'll be on my couch, so no need to get me off the floor. Thank you for calling, Jan and Charleston. We're all loving pollen season, too. And also want to give a shout-out to Mr. Grandstrand. That was Roman Sturgis who called in. He's a good fan of the pod. We appreciate you calling in, Roman. And also, I want to give a shout-out to Garrett Holmes, who sent us a package from Portland, Oregon. He's been a listener. He's a transplant out there from South Carolina, listens in Oregon. He sent us a whole box of coffee beans.
We love you.
We love you. We got Brazil, Honduras, Ethiopia. I mean, delicious coffee beans from Coava. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Coava, C-O-A-V-A. It's just, it's made Coava Coffee Roasters in Portland, Oregon.
Check them out.
I mean, unofficial coffee of the pod, official coffee of the pod.
I mean, now.
I was going to say it.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, we're going there.
We got, you know, 40 ounces, 50 ounces of coffee beans here. you got your sponsorship there. Every morning, I'm like, ooh, Coava. I don't know if you guys have a catchphrase, but I'll make one up.
Hashtag Coava.
I feel like it goes with my mustache, too. Coava.
Your mustache doubles as a bean grinder.
Yeah. I wish I had a grinder at work. I could make some coffee right now. Coava. Also, since now we're getting into our fun part of the episode, I also want to talk about how some digital first I've been doing. I was on a group chat watching a Netflix movie recently. The Netflix Party extension on Chrome lets you have live commentary with your friends as you watch the episode or any movie at the same time. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it really came in handy during the First Wives Club. Can we get some audio of the First Wives Club?
Right here.
I will say it was a little bit more fun than the first time I watched that movie, which was with my mother over Christmas.
Yeah.
Yee! Anyhow, AT, what have you been up to? What are you watching? I know you just started Tiger King.
I think we would be doing a quarantine disservice if we didn't dedicate some time to Tiger King.
Sure.
Right now.
I mean, okay? I finished it.
You finished it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I couldn't help myself. You get in that spiral?
I watched two episodes, all right? And I have questions. I have thoughts. Two episodes. So I mean, spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you haven't listened, skip ahead.
Spoiler alert, Carol's bad. Okay?
Well, yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay. Here's one of my thoughts.
Here,
I feel
cool
like we're all
kind
of trapped inside.
Sure.
Yeah. So is the show really as good as we're all saying? Or are we stuck inside?
No.
Am I being a contrarian?
Like I said when I first saw it, I mean, I wish I could find such a story that I could devote 5 years of my life to, because the amount of footage, each episode's 45 minutes at 7 episodes. I mean, that's so much editing and work.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
The drama. I mean, you can't deny the drama. It just presents itself. They just point the camera at it, and you're like, whew. I mean, when everything's on footage, I'm telling you, there's a big shocker coming for
everyone. Everyone keeps telling me that. Okay, and then my question is, who's the worst one? The worst guy? Who do you think is the worst one? Not guy, person. Who's the worst person?
I don't know if you've met everyone yet, though.
I know the doc. I know Carol.
I'll tell you who I
know. Joe Exotic. Those are the main three.
I think the least worst person would probably be John, his one husband. who, again, there's another kicker there, too. Surprise. Yeah.
A lot of husbands, a lot of wives.
Yeah, a lot of polygamy going on.
I think Doc's the worst one.
I mean, I'm not going to ruin that surprise, but
don't ruin any surprises.
Our Myrtle Beach guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a
probably.
Scoundrel.
I mean, I feel like Joe's heart was where it should be, but then as you go on, you see that it's all about the
he's
money.
He's just kind of a mess, though.
But at least he's a character, I guess.
Yeah, he seems like a bad guy. I mean, Carol's obviously bad, you know?
Yeah.
She's doing the same thing they're all doing.
We're going to have a lot of comments on this. I already know. you cool cats and kittens out there.
And you know they're like the tertiary big cat collectors that know that they're bad guys, you know? And they're just sitting there like, man, Doc's got to teach me how he gets them women.
Yeah.
You know, and you're
that
like...
That was one of the things people...
Ugh, God, like, oh. That's gross.
Well, you kind of just brainwash them a little bit, and you get some cool cats, and that gets people hooked, and yeah,
paying these
your
people
recipe.
Like $100 a week? That's ridiculous. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean...
It's like a mini cult.
I think we both have to say, watch Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
Be
I mean,
part of the
you've
zeitgeist.
Been hearing about it. Do it. I mean, again, like, it's only been out for a week, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, why are they still talking about it? It's only been out for a week, folks. I know, again, we're in quarantine years right now.
Every
where
meme.
7 days is 7 months.
Every meme, every internet joke, everything is yeah. Tiger King.
And check out our meme of this one this week that AT did. It's on our Instagram. It's beautiful.
I know for a fact that I immediately ordered Joe Exotic underwear and personal lubricant.
And that's our time to transition. So another important pod. Again, so much information. We wanted to keep you updated on what's going on in the state of South Carolina because I know there's a lot going on. National news. We keep hearing about New York and things like that. Very important news there too. But again, South Carolina, a bit of a different animal, if I can say. So it's important to keep up to date about what's happening here because it's easy to get overwhelmed. Don't want you to be overwhelmed. That's why I want you to shut the news off every now and then. You know, watch Tiger King. Keep up with the local news for sure. Your newspapers, our podcast, South Carolina Public Radio. Got a lot of great stuff going on. So plenty out there. Go for a walk. Read a book. I did both today.
Brag.
Yeah, yeah.
Brag.
Get a Kindle. So just so you know, we are all here for you at The Lead. Our Lead community is gathering almost daily, it seems like, and it's wonderful to see that. So we are in full-scale hashtag Lead Laugh Love mode all together. And for the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Gavin, are we like Carol, telling them not to do news but listen to us? Are we Carol?
I think there's a little bit of Carol in all of us. I mean, not the allegedly.
No, there's a little bit of Carol's husband in all the tigers.
Cut.
No, no.
Cut.